Welcome, listeners, to another episode of the Kids Ministry 101 podcast. I'm your host, Chuck Peters. We are recording live this episode at the Etch Family Ministry Conference in beautiful downtown Nashville, Tennessee. If you are not here for Etch this year, my goodness, please come next year. We would love to have you. We have over 1,000 kids ministry and student ministry leaders that are gathered here, and there's breakout sessions. One of the great opportunities is that we get to bring in our friends and thought leaders in kids ministry. And when they come here, they're talking in breakouts, they're interacting with our attendees, and then occasionally will sit down with us here at the podcast and grace us with their presence, the gift of their presence. And so we are sitting today, or I am, with a very good friend of Lifeway Kids, Mr. Mark Jones. Mark,
hey, thanks
for being here.
Oh, it's good to be here. We had a great session and lots of great people. I mean, we have children's workers, ministers who are, I mean, they're putting it all out there, trying to make it the very best it can be.
And we're so thankful to have you come and be a part of this and share from your experience and your knowledge and your passion and what the Lord's doing with your ministry to help those who are here. So, man, thank you for investing yourself in others. And thanks for taking time to sit with me.
Absolutely.
And we can sit around and chew the fat and figure things out here together on the podcast. For those of you who may not know Mark Jones, Mr. Mark, as he is known, leads a growing preschool and children's ministry. He's also the founder of MrMarksClassroom.com. That's MrMarksClassroom.com, where he champions children's ministry. He provides weekly resources and ideas and training. He shows you how to build things and put stuff together. And this, it's just a great website. So if you haven't been there, check out MrMarksClassroom.com. He's the author of 31 Days to Finding Your Kids Ministry Mojo.
That's right. Listen,
is it just 31 days?
It is. It's the 31-day challenge.
Quick.
You know, whenever I was new in ministry, I asked my pastor, hey, could you just like give me a little info every now and then? Am I doing okay? You know, a little feedback? Because if I'm doing all right, I just need to know. And he said, sure, just as soon as I see something. And I never heard a word. He was such a jerk. And I ended up finding myself just trying to please people to make sure that they liked me rather than was I investing in this right. So I created this challenge so that people could know they really do have their feet under them and they're doing the right direction.
So
you know.
Take the 31-day challenge.
That's
so
it.
Where can people find the book?
At MrMarksClassroom.com.
Excellent. Great. It's a good place to go. And you've got other great resources and books that you
absolutely
put together there as well. Well, we are going to be talking today about Bible drill. So you've had an experience
yes.
with Bible drill. Even
yes.
after all your years of experience, you've got some fresh enlightenment
yes.
about what it's done for your ministry.
So let me tell you what also
now,
doesn't
before
work.
Before we get there.
Okay.
But first.
Yes?
We've got a new thing we're doing on the podcast. It may not be new for the listeners, but it's new for you.
Okay, I'm nervous
since
now.
Since you were on the next time. So, you know, we're children's ministry people, so we're talking
right.
to kids all the time. We want to know a little bit about you when you were a kid.
Oh,
so
when
we
I
call
was
this
a kid.
Little you.
Little you.
So we want to hear about little Mark.
You know, he surfaces a lot even now.
He's still in there.
Yes,
he comes
is.
Out every
so
now and then.
I got a lot of swats during elementary because I couldn't stop talking or laughing. And my teacher was very unhappy about that. But it just
okay,
was so funny that she'd get mad.
In school, were you the class clown? Were you the smart kid? Were you, what were you?
I probably was the clown. Yeah. I wanted everyone to notice.
So were you a performer just as a kid? You know, some kids are a little bit more exuberant.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess I was. Yeah. I had lots to say, lots to ask,
right,
lots
now,
to do.
As a child, did you have a best friend? And if
as
so, tell us about it. A good friend that you had as
best
a kid.
Best friend. You know, my friends didn't always have a lot to say. And actually, my wife, she doesn't even use all of her word count for the day. I use most of hers as well, along with mine. So I probably was the instigator in most things, especially if it was going to be fun. Or let's see if that would happen if we do this, you know, that kind of thing.
All right. So did you have a favorite toy? Was there something
toy.
You had that was like a
yeah,
prize possession
you know,
or a toy
I had a
that
unicycle.
You loved. Did you really?
I did. I rode a unicycle most of my elementary years. Yeah.
Was it a tall one?
No, it's
okay,
just the normal because I was
pretty tall.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And no, that was it. I mean, I like to water ski and ride motorcycles, but Unicycle.
Unicycle. Yeah. That is a talent that I never knew that you had. So we may need to find a unicycle.
I wonder if that
if it's in the podcast budget to find a unicycle.
Oh, let's hope not.
Well, thanks for sharing a bit about you. So it's very always good to get to know people a little more intimately.
It is.
So let's talk about Bible drill. So
absolutely.
So you said your Wednesday nights were boring.
Yes,
kids were kind of, you know, getting a little mischievous.
That's an understatement, because whenever they're bored to death, they get creative and they take off with things just like I did
when you were a kid.
And they're
on your unicycle.
Yeah. And so they're doing the wrong things. And so I pulled my team together and said, okay, this M&M, you know, music and missions, it's not working. We got to come up with something else. We went to an after-school program with the School of Fine Arts, and we ran a huge program with kids in music and then getting to choose an art. And I mean, it really was fantastic. It was growing. But the truth was, it was the music minister's. I was doing his job, it was not good, because then later we were trying to do Teen Kid and everybody's tired, needs to do their homework. And so we went to Awana even. We tried that, but the kids didn't have Bible skills. Like, they would say the Old Testament books of the Bible,
right,
and they get a check. They say the New Testament, get a check. And they had no skills.
Hmm.
And it was a huge disconnect. So that's when I finally pulled the team together and said, listen, why are we doing this? What is it that we need to, I feel like we're just grabbing anything. So what do we really need to be doing? And we really ironed out these three things: that boys and girls need to hear the plan of salvation. They need to get their Bible skills.
Yes.
And they need to also have opportunities to serve. Those were the three things that would get prime time.
Mm.
Sunday morning, Wednesday night. Those were our prime times, because Sunday night wasn't much, but music had to move there.
Yes.
Because it wasn't a prime thing. And so obviously we're always going to share the plan of salvation in everything. Because, you know, there was a time Sunday school teachers actually led children to Christ.
Yeah.
You didn't wait for VBS and camp.
Those big special
two
events.
Two times a year.
Yeah.
I mean, so we trained all the teachers. We trained parents how to lead children. We just had such a great experience in all that. Then I said, you know, Bible skills is really children's discipleship. The difference in Bible study and discipleship is that discipleship has accountability. They both have Bible study, but discipleship has accountability, meaning you learned something, then you came back the next week and you processed it. You owned it. You could do it now. You were discipled.
Right.
So there's the difference. So when these children are introduced to a new verse and why, or a key passage, or a books of the Bible by divisions, and they come back the next week and they can say it, they can find it, they know it, then they get checked off, and we keep practicing it. And so pulling that into the equation as this is children's discipleship, our student ministry, where they have just thanked us and praised us, because kids know how to find stuff. They know where they're at. So when it takes off on this whole topical life application process with them, they're not trying to help kids wait to find it in the contents and then look it up. And we're on board. I mean, if you're going to be discipled later, you got to have these Bible skills.
Yes.
Listen, Chuck, this is squarely on our shoulders. They don't teach this in student ministry or adult ministry.
Mm-mm.
Bible skills is taught in preschool and children.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's so important.
If we fail to do that, we wind up with biblically illiterate students and adults.
Thank you very much. And they can't feed themselves spiritually because they don't know where to find it. So we really can't miss this one. It's a big deal.
And so you went to Bible drill.
Yep.
And so I would think for some people that sounds like you're really up in the ante right? Because some of these things, you know, a Wanna Team Kid it's activity based and it's there's movement and fun, and this is pretty serious
but
to go
guess
to Bible
what?
Drill.
So is Bible drill. There is so much information in that notebook. Like, you just can't even do it all. So we did we took on the structure of what we do best, and really it's VBS, and we're using the rotation method.
Mm.
And so when the people come to teach on Wednesday night, they only have to prepare for 30 minutes
for their one role.
And they teach it three times.
Great.
And so recreation, three times, missions three times, and the kids get to go from room to room, experience something new, not be stuck in a room for an hour and a half, but really get to experience more. They have coaches who meet with them 15 minutes. You know, parents want to drop off 15 minutes early, so we built it in, meet with your coach, say your stuff, get checked off, and they encourage them. Listen, they go all the way to the state, drill with them, and cheering for them. I mean, they have really discipled these kids all the way through with their relationships and their encouragement. It's huge. Okay, I have to tell you, when you hear the word Bible drill, you often think, oh, it's like militant or something. You know, like it's
attention,
gonna be so,
draw swords, you know, fun.
Yeah. So it always feels like, it doesn't sound like fun, but that's just the drill. Everything else you add in there, all those games. I mean, I have come up with so many games. My teachers have come up with tons of games. And you know what? There's tons of games in the book. I mean, you know what your resources are. You can make it as big or as little as you want it to be. And all of my classes are up and moving the whole time. So it's never boring. Probably the biggest challenge has been motivation. How do you keep them motivated, especially for those who don't have parents who will encourage them? Mm-hmm. I mean, it could even be the pastor's son. He's not getting that encouragement to learn these verses and practice them. And so what we did was I picked the hardest verse, and this year is Acts 1:8. And, you know, it has a lot of sequence to it, you know, and the names of those places in the Bible. The names are hard. Well, we worked on that first before we even tackled anything else. And when a child could say that, then they got their Quell Kids t-shirt. And then everybody got a lanyard. And every time you got five checks, you got a new button to put on. Okay, the buttons came from Oriental Trade. But when they see each other, they got the number one button. They got the number two button. And they just keep adding them on. I mean, they don't say number one.
Right,
I mean,
sure.
It is
the first button, the second
first
button.
Yeah. And then finally.
It doesn't even matter what they are, right?
No, it doesn't. It's just something to show their achievements. Oh my gosh, there's so many emojis. I mean, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And finally, the big clincher is that in the state drill, if you get 20 out of 24 calls correct, then you get, in Oklahoma, you get the medallion. Well, at our church, you can start getting, we call it the jacket drill, and it came from Ron Clark Academy. Ron Clark wrote a great book called Molasses Classes. Mm. It's how to motivate kids. Well, he said, like the PGA, you get a green jacket if you win. And, okay, nobody wears green jackets unless you win that. I mean, it's pretty awesome.
Yes.
Well, you just have to have ceremony and gather everybody and go, good job. You did this. You earned it. And you put the jacket on them. Everybody claps.
And you commemorate that.
And some
celebrate
churches
that.
Could even do it on a Sunday morning.
Yes.
Where they got it. So they get, starting in January, every month as we finish the school year, you have a chance to get 20 out of 24 ready or right and get the jacket.
Mm.
So those big
really
motivations.
Sought after, right? Everyone wants that jacket.
Oh, yeah. It's really great, too. A lot of fun.
So with Bible drill, you tend to think of it in a traditional sense as something that you have a team that's committed to stay the course. So
and
how does it work
rules.
In a ministry where you have heavy rules and you have to learn the rules as well as the Bible skills?
No, it's
so
too
you're not
hard.
Necessarily doing all of that or asking that of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing I think of is, you know, oftentimes on a Wednesday night we'll have kids who are hit and miss. They're not there every week, every other.
Right.
So. Is that a reason to not do Bible drill? You're saying no.
No, you should do it because you're going to be helping them get the skills, using their Bibles, finding that stuff. I mean, so what if they don't have all those verses memorized, but they can actually find the books? Okay, so in Oklahoma, we created a sword drill as kind of a secondary or a step for the kids. So they didn't memorize the verses, but we have the state sword drill and everything is in the Bible. And so as they've been practicing the book, they can do 12 of those and then there's 12 verse calls in 20 seconds. Yeah, it's really fun.
And I can imagine that you've seen a real difference in those
huge
Bible skills.
Uptick, yeah. Absolutely.
How long does it take for a typical church, if we're going to make this transition? Yes, we're going to do this. We're going to transition.
Mm-hmm.
when you start to see those results?
You could start right away, but you need to gather your people. You need a runway to get this launched. Don't just say, next week we're doing. You need to launch it because you need to have those gimmicky things like you see in Awana or whatever. If you're going to have a t-shirt, a lanyard, you got to order that stuff. You've got to get it. You got to budget or find money. I didn't have a budget for jackets, but guess what? The memorial fund was not even tapped. And so I
just
went over and said, hey, this will help a lot of kids. And they're like, yeah, nobody really has asked for that.
Huh.
So we did. So you have to kind of do your homework and get ready to go. Yeah. Okay, the curriculum is three cycles. Red is what we're on now, blue and then green. And once you buy that notebook, you simply use it again. Because there's some pages like the recreation page, for instance, or the missions, the service page. It tells you can make copies of them. And so go ahead and then keep the notebook intact and you use that.
Great.
Easy.
Man, well, what challenge would you give to those church leaders out there who are having a hard time on their Wednesday night?
I would say, first of all, look and see, what are you really accomplishing? Are you really just getting numbers? What do you see the fruit happening through your Bible teaching plan? Because I wanted to see kids equipped to use their Bibles. And if you've got another objective, I understand, but do you have an objective? Do you have a goal that you're wanting to see happen? And are you going for it? Hey, we still have fun nights. Every month we have, like, October is wig night. We had mustache night last week. We have superhero night. We have Thunder Up night because we have the NBA Thunder in Oklahoma City.
Sure.
And Twinkie night, and we have Twinkies, you know, but you have to dress up like your best friends, and it's so much fun. We do those, but it doesn't change the schedule.
Yes.
It just is fun. And our missions part of that would be mustache night. You had to bring M food so that way we could turn it into the food pantry. And then wig night was personal hygiene items, and every class is a contest.
Again, so creative.
Yeah, so you just add those moments for the missions part as well.
Wow.
Yeah, great fun.
Mr. Mark Jones, thank you so much for being with us. Man, I just love the opportunity to sit and talk with you and hear you share. Listeners, thank you for listening to the Kids Ministry 101 podcast. Join us again soon for another episode where we seek to inform, instruct, and inspire you as you serve the kids and families in your ministry. Thanks for listening.